Right before you take a Bible tonight, turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 1. Book of 1 John. There are 10 verses in this first chapter. I'd like to read them first. Go to God in prayer. And then take some time with these verses, which I believe has some tremendous, wonderful teaching for us. Let me pray first tonight. Father, I pray as we open your book tonight that you would speak to our hearts. As we read it, may it have that impact in our lives. And Lord, as it's preached and taught tonight, Spirit of God, that you would take these things. For Lord, without you, there is no teaching. We ask for your blessing now in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 1 states, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Just a few weeks ago, as often has happened throughout many years, somebody asked me, "Where do I begin reading the Bible? Where do I begin?" Normally, my answer to an individual concerning that is to begin reading in one of the books of John. Particularly, the Epistle of John as we're reading here, or of the Gospel of John, as we find, of course, is the fourth book of the New Testament. The book of John helps us to understand the life, and particularly of all the Gospel books, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It shows Him as the Son of God, perhaps with a greater emphasis than Matthew, Mark, or Luke. 1 John, on the other hand, is to help us to understand the relationships that are to be built as a Christian. So you have one giving us the historical background and the deity of Christ, showing us who He is. And here in 1 John, to help us understand the relationship that we're to build with Him, and as we will also discover, with each other. When those relationships are in due order, when those things are taking place in our life, then I believe we can apply verse number 4, which I think is the key verse to this book. Because it just simply says, "In these things write we unto you." It's almost like John is, through the Holy Spirit, saying, "This is why we're doing this, that your joy might be full." That your joy might be full. Let's understand something tonight. Happiness, as I understand the word, or as I try to define the word, is based upon our surroundings, the events, our environment. You go outside and you're not really happy today. You're happier when you go back inside in the air conditioning. Because the events surrounding you out there makes you miserable. Isn't that true? And so that'd be true. There's certain places that you would like to go and certain places you'd like not to go. There's certain people you'd like to be around, certain people you'd like not to be around. Why? Because those circumstances, those settings, they can make us happy or we can allow them to make us sad. Okay? But here we find that God's talking about something else. It's joy. Joy, I believe, is based entirely upon our fellowship with God. And God wants us to have joy in Him. Joy is having an open relationship with the Lord. In this chapter, it is called fellowship. God wants to have fellowship with Him. Notice verse 3 once again. That we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So God wants you and I to have a relationship or fellowship. We find that the disciples remember this in a very personal way. Go back to verse number 1. He says, that which we, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We know that God used John to write this. We know that John was used to write the Gospel of John. In John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so when he's speaking of the Word here, we know that he is referring not only to what we might think of as the Bible, but also to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word. So here he's talking about remembering His person called the Word of Life. And by the way, you and I believe, ought to understand from that verse right there that we can have fellowship with Christ in the Word of Life. That's where you and I can converse with Him. That's where you and I hear Him speak to us as the disciples heard Him speak to them. He is shown as with the Father in verse number 2, in fellowship, and then He is manifested to you and I for the same purpose. So let's read verse 2 and 3 again. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was what? Manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Notice the colon. And truly our fellowship was the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Any fellowship that is true with the Lord. Listen to this statement. Let me start over. Any fellowship that is true with the Lord is also true with the brethren. They go hand in hand. You cannot separate them. Notice what he says. We have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. They are that which go hand in hand. Book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Here's the deal. You walk with Christ. I walk with Christ. He is our companion. We are companions. It's the way it works. If you're walking close to Him, I'm walking close to Him, then we are walking together. We are agreed. We are in the same path. And we have then fellowship one with another. Our agreement is in Christ. And our recognition of His Lordship and all that is concerning Him. Now notice verse number 5. Of course, he says in verse 4, these things write we unto thee, that your joy may be full. So we're talking about fellowship. Fellowship with God, fellowship with each other. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is what? Light. What does not dwell in Him? Darkness. In Him is no darkness at all. There is nothing that God hides from those who seek to fellowship with Him. When you and I have accepted Him as Savior, we have allowed Him that place as God in our life, there is no hiding of His glory or of His greatness. Now let me take you to the book of Mark for just a moment, chapter 4 and verse number 33. You can turn or listen. It says in verse 33, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it." Now, a parable's coming. It's a truth, but it's somewhat veiled. But goes on in the next verse, and listen what it says. It says, "But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone..." Those who really had fellowship with Christ, it says, "He expounded all things to His disciples." You and I, who want to walk with God and have fellowship with Him, can have expounded to us or revealed to us all that is God. He is not hiding from us. Those who don't want Him will never see Him. But those who are willing to receive Him, He makes Himself very known. There is nothing within the being of God that is sinful. There is nothing that is to be hid about God. He is holy, holy. W-H-O-L-Y. Holy, H-O-L-Y. He is completely holy. That is our God. Now you and I, if we go back to the book of Genesis, we understand where we're at. We're like Adam and Eve after they sinned. And when they sinned, what did they do? They sought to cover themselves, to hide themselves, and also to hide from God. So there was, what, sin, and now they seek to hide themselves. That's where you and I are basically at. And by the way, let's put chapter number 4 with chapter 3 in the book of Genesis and understand something. When you and I go away from God and it's all about us, we have become our own God. Isn't that what the devil said to them basically? "Ye shall become as gods." And we make ourselves our own God. Then it's all about us. And it ain't going to take very long till we find out we are at variance with our brother. Chapter 4. What do we find? Brother kills brother. That's where it always goes to. And so we're at variance with each other. In the beginning, God created us to have fellowship with Him. God formed Eve for the purpose of fellowship with her. But sin caused a problem. And we find the problem began right there in the family. Now, as we go on into this chapter and we consider what it has to say in the remainder, I find that there are three little words that we see three times. You find it in verse 6, you find verse 8, you find verse number 10, and those three little words are, "if we say." If we say, we find that there are three assumptions that often we as saved people make. By the way, saying it doesn't make it so. There's a crowd today that sometimes I call them the name and claim it gang. They say that your word is so powerful, all you got to do is speak it, it will become true. By the way, that is blasphemous because it's putting the power of your word on the same power as the word of God. All you got to do is turn on your television to some of the major Christian networks, and there the boys are. And they're espousing that kind of falsehood. Saying it doesn't make it so. Matter of fact, verse 6 says, "If we say..." And we don't. He says we lie. There is a manifestation of fellowship with God that I find from these next several verses reveals itself in three distinct ways. When you and I are walking with God, when you and I are having fellowship with God, we're going to see some things very vividly in these next few verses. Verse number 6. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in..." what? "Darkness." Who is light? God is light, isn't He? But if we're walking in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're walking in darkness, what are we seeking to do? Cover. Okay? We're seeking to cover, to hide. Okay? If we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. This fellowship is not hiding of our inner being from God or others. Here we get to a very sticky situation amongst God's people. First of all, we are very familiar with the fact that God knows all about us. We know that God knows. However, because we fail to allow God to reveal what He knows about us, we fail to know all about ourselves by allowing His light to truly shine upon us. Are you with me? The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Now, far too often we're talking about actions. The God here is talking about something else, our heart and our thoughts. We must, as God's people, come to the spot where we are transparent with God, but by the way, also with one another. That you and I might learn to walk together with a greater love. It's a matter of transparency. The book of James, I believe, refers to this in a little bit reversed order is what we're going to see here. Forgiveness of sins, by the way, is by God. We're not talking about confessing sins one to another. That's taken care of as you and I go to the Lord. And we'll see that in the following verses. In the book of James, when he says, confess your faults one to another, the previous verse is talking about the sins that have already been forgiven. So we're not talking about sins here. We're talking about faults. We're talking about tendencies that you and I have. We're talking about those things in our lives that take us down. Confess your faults one to another. What's the purpose? And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sin will be dealt with, as we will see in the next two verses. But here it's about being willing to share with others and ourselves the truth about our weaknesses. One of the things that you and I have a problem with is that we don't want people to see our weaknesses. We walk around with a facade. We have a veneer. As a result of that veneer, we are offering to others that which is not real, a ghost. Seriously. We're offering to them something that is not ourselves. How can another have fellowship with us if we are running around with our ghosts having fellowship one with another? We making sense? Rattle your head one way or the other. Because we fear this thing of transparency. The reason we fear it is because we've had too much experience of when we have let our hearts out there, of doing so with a carnal Christian who did not use it for the proper reason. Somebody who ran with it and probably to somebody else. And so sometimes what happens is you and I, as God's people, not really knowing it, but when we know something of a fault of another, and we rehearse that to another yet, we have put that individual in a place where now they're afraid to reveal themselves next time. Now, we must all plead guilty to that. We need to allow God to help us to see that we not do that to other individuals. But here's the other side of that. When two individuals can pour their hearts one to another and allow each other to see within them and to see their weaknesses, what happens? When both are in tune with the Lord, it draws them together. Brings them together. Why does it bring them together? Because both realize more than ever the wondrous grace of God from Him and from the other individual. You see, when you're willing to accept my faults, not just my features, but my faults, now I believe you are a true friend. Does that make sense? That is a must in order for us to really have this thing of revival, this thing of fellowship with the Lord. That is a must that has to take place. It probably will not happen with several at once. It probably only be two. But it can grow. Okay? And we need to learn how to do that. If we say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness. What, walking, hiding our weaknesses? What does He say? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, what? One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Let's notice secondly. In verse number 8 and 9, notice what He says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First of all, if we don't have the right kind of fellowship with at least some, we're not really walking with God. And we find that verse number 7, the latter portion of it, we're having a real hard time with our sin even. But if we come and say, well, I don't have any sin, and I've heard a lot of people say that, basically, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. For a Christian to pretend to be without sin is to reveal that truth has escaped us. But as our walking in the light shows sin, we never even considered before, the objective of it is to what? Bring it as confession to the Lord. You and I need to understand where we're at. We need to see who we are and bring it to Him. Now let's understand something from verse number 9. Once it's confessed, it is, what's He say? Forgiven. Once it's confessed, it is forgiven. Now I realize that we can say things with our mouth, but we're talking about confession. We're talking about not just saying it out loud, but I mean we mean in our heart. When we confess it, He forgives. He cleanses. Now here again, you and I have a problem. somehow we just don't believe that it's that simple. Somehow we believe that we need to have some sort of series of atonement measures to be really real. I just haven't felt sorry enough. Matter of fact, we as God's people, often when somebody confesses sin, we will turn around and say something like this: well, they didn't really mean it. And the reason we say that is because we don't see what we think is enough grief. And we will do that to others, but we'll turn around and even do it to ourselves. But what does God say? If we what? Confess it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There does not need to be a series of atonement. Confess it. That's it. We just need to believe God. Now notice the last. The first one I called the fellowship with brethren. The second I call a confession of sin. And if there's a manifestation of fellowship with God, those things are a must. But notice lastly in verse number 10. If we say that we have not sinned. Now it looks very similar. He says we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. I look at this verse and I think of the context here. And if you and I are truly in fellowship with God, there must be an absorption of the truth of God. It must be absorbed. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What happens? I look at this, and oftentimes you and I, as we read the Word of God or as we sit in the preaching of the Word of God, conviction is rarely present. How often do you read the Word of God and you, boy, God speaks to you. You're a mess. You look at that and you realize, hey, there's some things wrong here. And we are seeking God to do some changes in our lives. We come to a church service and God speaks to us if we allow Him. Conviction is present. I was privileged for 3 years to sit under what many described as the greatest pulpiteer in the 20th century. And I had the privilege to listen to Dr. Tom Malone preach at least 3, sometimes 4 or 5 times every week. And if any of you are subscribers to the Sword of the Lord and you still happen to get one of his sermons from time to time, I probably got to hear it preached. And I had that privilege. I sat in those messages, and I'll tell you what, I felt like I was getting worked on and worked over. I mean, there were things I thought, who had let him in my house? How did he know that? What was it? Conviction. Conviction. Invitation time would come. You know what always got an invitation time? What he did, he'd always ask for a raise of hands. And one of the things he'd ask for is, you know, how many are lost, or how many, you know you're saved, and everybody put their hand up, or several put their hand up. And those who couldn't put their hand up, you've heard me do the same thing. And folks would raise their hand, and then he would ask, did God speak to any of your hearts? Do you need want me to pray for you, or something of that nature? And throughout that whole thing, I'd be sitting there like this and my head would be itching like crazy. Because I knew as soon as I put my hand up to scratch it, he would say, oh, God bless you. I mean, I was to that point of conviction, I didn't even want to put my hand out of my lap on my head to scratch it. He beat the fire out of me. But so often we can set through those things, and I have done that too, and never make a move to the altar of God. I'm not talking about going forward necessarily. I'm talking about making a move to God. Allowing Him to do a work in our life. You know, a lot of folks, they love to praise the attributes of God, but never allow those attributes to shine as a light upon their own unworthiness. Today, the popular thing is to go to church and, I mean, wave the hands and, yes, we're all having a great time. Isn't this wonderful? And by the way, it's great. You know, we get to heaven, I think we're going to, you know, it's all going to be great. Amen. No more conviction of sin. Hallelujah. It's all going to be gone, way gone. But I tell you what, hear about the holiness of God. And it ought to do to us what it did to Isaiah. Because he saw himself as he really was. And so here we find that if we say we've not sinned, we hear the Word of God. Whether we read it or whether we hear it, and we say, oh, that don't affect me, we make him what? A liar. And his Word is what? Not in us. To truly walk with the Lord is to be in and walk in His truth, the wonderful Word of God. 1 John, why did he write it? Well, I believe that we might have full joy. How are we going to have full joy? When we are walking with God. But not only is there a walk with God and a fellowship with God, but it's also a fellowship with one another. And that fellowship with one another comes about as we're walking in the light. In other words, we are willing to be transparent about our faults as well as our features. We're willing to let folks know that that facade is exactly what it is. It's a phony face. It's a phony outfit. For if you and I are walking in our facades, there we go. But I'm standing here and you're sitting there. That's our ghost. And so God wants us to learn how to do that. That we might be able to walk in the Spirit of God. Boy, it's a great chapter. I wish I could rehearse it more perfectly and more. It's good. God wants you and I to be in a place of joy in fellowship with Him.